This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Inshallah, just a couple of quick announcements before I get started. First and foremost, there were a couple of requests for du'as of Sister Khalida, who we had requested everyone to make dua for, alhamdulillah. Her surgical procedure was today, and alhamdulillah, she's recovering. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her a speedy and full recovery. Ameen. Also, we received another message from a friend that whose father is in the ER. He's very elderly, and his condition is quite severe right now. And they shared the father's name so that we could make dua for him specifically. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant his shifa and his mercy and his benevolence upon Sayyid Sarwar Hussein. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him health and strength. Ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant strength to his family during this difficult time. Ameen. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Inshallah, continuing with our series here in the month of Ramadan, the stories of the prophets in the Quran and the practical lessons that we are extracting from these stories to live our lives by. As we're into the last couple of sessions that we're going to have in this series this month of Ramadan, inshallah, we're going to be talking about our beloved messenger Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the most constant themes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes back to, or one of the themes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes back to repeatedly many, many places in the Quran, is actually the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The akhlaq, the character, the manners, the demeanor, the disposition, the personality, the prophetic personality sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anbiya, Surah number 21, in ayah number 107, says while addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We sent you as a mercy upon all of humanity. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again, in Surah number 68, Surah Al-Qalam, in the very beginning, and Imam As-Suyuti rahimahullahu ta'ala mentions that we know the very first revelation upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iqra. The second revelation upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the beginning part of Surah Al-Qalam, Surah number 68. And what did Allah say in the second revelation upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So that it would serve as a foundation and a constant theme throughout his mission, throughout his life. What did Allah say? Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Allah swore by the pen of decree and the destiny of humanity. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnun. You are not possessed, you are not insane, you are not crazy as they accuse you to be. Wa inna laka la ajran ghayra mamnunin. That Allah has reserved the ultimate reward for your sacrifices. Wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that indeed you are above, you are on top of, you are above the best character. And that wording, that phrasing in the Arabic language is fascinating, because usually you don't use the preposition ala, right? You don't use the preposition of on top of. But what Allah is saying here is, think about the example of the best character you have ever seen or experienced or can imagine. What would the most beautiful, noble manners look like? And then think of the peak and the pinnacle of it. And wherever the peak of it is, that is where the character of the Prophet ﷺ starts. Ala. You're above it all. You're better than all of them, everyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet ﷺ later in his mission, this was in the beginning of the mission, where he was going to be in Mecca, and he was going to be living amongst and preaching to the enemy, who were trying to murder him, kill him day and night. Then the Prophet ﷺ goes to Al-Madinatul Munawwara, where he is the Prophet, he is the Imam, he is the leader. The Prophet ﷺ never identified himself as such, but for all intents and purposes, he was the king. The people who didn't become Muslim initially, the Bedouins of Arabia, they would actually refer to him, because they weren't Muslim yet, they would refer to him as Malikul Madina, the king of Medina. When Abu Sufyan, when he first just became Muslim, literally just became Muslim, and he was with Al-Abbas, radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and they were watching the army of Fath Mecca, the conquest of Mecca, marching 10,000 strong in these battalions and units. And when Abu Sufyan is looking at this, he has just become Muslim, so he hasn't yet learned this lesson yet. And he looks at it and he looks over to Al-Abbas, his friend, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and he says that your nephew has a great kingdom. Lahu mulkun azim. He's a great kingdom. And Al-Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, corrects him. He says, Laysa hadha al-mulk. Laysa hadha mulkan. Bal huwa nubuwatan. This is not a kingdom. This is called prophethood. He is not a king. He's a prophet. Kings cannot inspire this. This is something only prophets can do. So now that the Prophet ﷺ is in Al-Madinah, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That indeed for you in the Messenger ﷺ is the most amazing, beautiful, remarkable, excellent, noble example. He is the best role model of all time. And at the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. There came to you a messenger and he was from amongst you. He was a human being like the rest of you. He cried and he laughed, he bled and he wept. He experienced all the conditions of being a human being that you do. He celebrated the birth of his children and then he mourned their deaths. He went through it all. And so he's from amongst you. He knows what you're going through. Azizun alayhi ma anittum. But when you suffer, he feels the pain of it. The Prophet ﷺ was the epitome of empathy. When you suffer, he feels it. Harisun alaykum. He wants what's best for you. Bil mu'minina ra'ufun rahimun. And he is extremely merciful and compassionate with the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet ﷺ, waghfid janahaka لِمَنِ اتَّبَعَكَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That lower, if we translate literally, it means lower the wing of humility, which is an expression in the Arabic language, which means be extremely merciful and accommodating. Be compassionate and kind. Be understanding for those that follow you amongst the believers. Because it's a very common problem. It's a very common phenomenon. First of all, when it comes to, I can speak for myself, I have poor manners to begin with, no matter what the situation is. May Allah forgive me. And then, if somebody has a little bit more understanding, then when they're trying to win somebody over, when someone is a skeptic, when someone is negative, when someone's on the wrong side of it, then you kind of realize, okay, I should be nice, I should be kind, I should be generous, I should be humble, so as to try to win that person over. But then there's a third level of character. The third level of character is, well, if he's with me now, if he's with me, he's already pledged his loyalty, he's already signed up, he's already enrolled, he's already sitting in the class, now I just take him for granted. Now I take him for granted. And that's the next problem that we suffer from. And Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, never ever take your own people for granted. But love them and cherish them. Be kind to them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Qur'an. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It was only and solely through the mercy of Allah that you were so kind and accommodating with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ. Had you been mean and hard-hearted, لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They would have abandoned you at the first sign of trouble. At the first sign of difficulty, they would have left you high and dry. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ. You have to be forgiving. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. You have to pray for them. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And even though they just messed up, you have to call them back into the inner circle. So somebody makes a mistake, you have to forgive it. Not take it personally. Let it go. You make dua for him in the middle of the night when it's just you and Allah. And number three, the next day, when that person's kind of embarrassed, kind of shy, shying away, you reach out to that person and you say, hey, how are you doing? Come here. I wanted to talk to you about something. You bring him back in to the fold. And this was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in a hadith, our mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha tells us, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. The character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Qur'an. He was the living, breathing, walking, talking Qur'an. He was the Qur'an personified, implemented, lived, practically. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on numerous occasions, he was teaching us about his own character so that we would take note. We would learn the lesson. He said, لَمْ أُبْعَثْ لَعَانًا وَإِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ رَحْمَةً. I was not sent to doom people, to damn people. I was sent as a mercy for people. إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَحْمَةٌ مُهْدَاتٌ. I am a mercy for people. I was sent to guide people to their salvation. And I'll share two stories from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to demonstrate both things. Number one, our character with those who might not be from our community, and then how do you treat the people that are from your community? Because it's both elements. How do we interact with, for us, the majority of people who are not Muslim? They don't know the Qur'an, they don't know the Prophet ﷺ, they don't believe in what we believe in. But how do we interact with them? And then how do we interact within our own community? Alright? So how do we interact with other people? This narration is found in the book of At-Tabarani. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a Jewish rabbi who accepted Islam when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina. And he says that when Allah wanted to guide a man by the name of Zayd bin Su'na, this is what occurred. Zayd bin Su'na said that I had been studying the prophecies about the Prophet at the end of times. And I had confirmed all the signs of this Prophet of the end of times upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But there were some things that I had read that I had yet to confirm because I had to experience them. I couldn't observe them from a distance. I would have to experience them personally. And they were, يَسْبِقُ حِلْمُهُ جَهْلَهُ وَلَا تَزِيدُ شِدَّةُ الْجَهْلِ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا حِلْمًا. Okay, number one, his forbearance, his dignity is greater than his, the word he literally uses is his forbearance is greater than his ignorance. But what that practically means is his dignity supersedes any kind of motivation to seek vengeance. Okay? His dignity rises above the prophet of the end of times. His dignity will rise above his desire to seek vengeance. And the more ignorant you become with him, the more dignified he becomes in response. That's the two things. So he always chooses dignity over vengeance. And if you start being super ignorant with him, he'll just be even more and more dignified with you. So he says, I was looking for an opportunity on how I could experience this. So he says, one day, and he says, so I've been kind of snooping around, creeping around, eavesdropping on the Prophet ﷺ. Zayd, this man, this Jewish rabbi, Jewish scholar, he says. And he says, one day the Prophet ﷺ came out of his home, and Ali bin Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ, his son-in-law, and one of the first people to accept Islam, and the closest people to the Prophet ﷺ, he said he was waiting for him. And so the Prophet ﷺ is talking to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, he says that there is a town of so-and-so, like a small village, a tribe that has accepted Islam, and they are suffering from a drought. We've gotten news, there's a small Bedouin tribe, and they've become Muslim, but they're suffering from a drought. And so they need relief, they need help. And so we were trying to arrange to send them some food. But I thought I would come and talk to you, Ya Rasulullah. And he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, go and inquire from so-and-so and so-and-so. Look in the collection, look in the Baytul Ma, look for in sadaqah, what do we have? And he comes back and he says, ma baqiya minhu shay. Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, we have nothing left. We barely have enough to eat, there's nothing left. And Zayd said, I was listening, I was eavesdropping, and I saw my opportunity. So I just kind of conveniently strolled into the conversation. I couldn't help but overhear, right? And he said, Ya Muhammad, هل لك أن تبيعني تمرًا معلومًا من حائط بلي فنان إلى أجلي كذا وكذا? And he said that, I kind of came in and I said, well, I can help you out. And I can help you acquire dates from so-and-so, from so-and-so's garden. And you can pay me back, you know. And he said, I gave like some very generous timeline. You got 3 months to pay me back. The payment will be due, like we use right now as an example, the payment will be due on June the 1st. Generous timeline. Okay, thank you. There's a narration that says the Prophet ﷺ never took a loan for himself. He would only take loans to help other people. So anyways, he says, okay. And that's it. They were able to acquire the dates, send it for those starving, hungry people, new Muslims. They had just accepted Islam. And everything seemed fine and dandy. And the Prophet ﷺ had 2+ months to arrange for this payment. Khalas. He says, I waited a little while, you know, maybe before the debt expired, before the due date. I waited till a few days before the due date. I came like, let's say, a week early. And he says, I walk up to the Prophet, and I specifically timed it when he would be surrounded by the maximum number of people. Because I wanted to test this theory. His dignity is greater than his motivation to get even with somebody. And the more ignorant I would be, the more dignified he would become. So I came when he was surrounded by a bunch of people. And I walked up to him. I didn't say hi. I didn't say hello. أتيتُهُ فأخذتُهُ بِمَجَامِعِ قَمِيصِهِ وَرِدَائِهِ. I came and I grabbed him like this. From the front of his shirt. Like basically looking for a fight. وَنَظَرْتُ إِلَيْهِ بِوَجْهٍ غَلِيظٍ. And I made this face at him. Like a mean, angry face. And I said, أَلَا تَقْضِينِي يَا مُحَمَّدْ حَقِّي. I screamed. I said, Muhammad, you're not going to fulfill your debt to me? Huh? You're not going to fulfill my right? I started to scream. And he says that, وَاللَّهِ مَا عَلِمْتُكُمْ بَنِي عَبْدِ الْمُطَّلِ لَمَطَلٌ. And then I brought his dad and his granddad into the conversation. Right? Like, making it super personal. I didn't know your dad, your grandfather, that they were like cheats. They don't pay people back. And then he went on and on. And Zayd says, as I was watching this, نَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ عُمَرْ. He says, I was aware of my surroundings, so I didn't want to die. I want to become Muslim. There's a difference, right? So he says, from the corner of my eye, I spotted Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. فَإِذَا عَيْنَاهُ تَدُورَانِ فِي وَجْهِهِ كَالْفَلَكِ الْمُسْتَدِيرِ. He says, Umar radiallahu anhu's eyes rolled back into his head. I could just see the whites of his eyes. Looked like a demon possessed, right? And he says, ثُمَّ رَمَانِي بِبَصْرِهِ. And then Umar radiallahu anhu started to stare at me with the whites of his eyes, right? Looking into my soul, right? And he said to me, Ya Adu Allah, O enemy of God. You talk like this to the Prophet ﷺ? You behave this way with the Prophet ﷺ? He says, I'm going to end you here and now. And the Prophet ﷺ was calm. He said, I'm holding him by the front of his shirt. Like imagine, someone's just grabbing you like this. And he said, the Prophet ﷺ didn't even flinch the whole time. He was just sitting there, smile on his face. Not a worry in the world. And he said, he looked over at Umar radiallahu ta'ala calmly. And he said to him, he said, Ya Umar, Ana wa huwa kunna ahwaj ila ghayri hadha. Umar, you're not helping. You're not helping. He said, Habibi, what you should have done was you should have told him to calm down. And then you should have suggested to me that, Ya Rasulullah, I think we should pay him back. That's what you should have done. But you came here, you're like, ooh, is that a fire? Here's some kerosene, right? Don't do that. That's not the right thing to do. And then the Prophet ﷺ told the man, Zayd, he said that, back off, relax, take it easy. Absolutely. He said, just next time, just come and talk to me. That's all you have to do. We'll pay you back. He told Umar, now this is your job. You go, take him to Uthman, and request Uthman to pay him back on my behalf, and all over Uthman. And after you get done with that, then you go and do something nice for him. So first pay him back what I owe him, and then I'll owe Uthman. And then you go do something nice to him. And Umar radiallahu anhu's face is like, right? The face every teenager makes, right? All the time. So Umar radiallahu anhu is like, me do something nice for him? Why? He's the one disrespecting you, Ya Rasulullah. He's the one assaulting you, putting hands on you, Ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet ﷺ explains. He goes, why? Because you threatened him. He was dealing with me. You might not like it, but that was between me and him. Who told you to come in here and be like, I will sever your head? Who told you to do that? So he goes, you do something nice for him to make up for it now. Go. Now. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu walks out with the man. And when they get outside, then Zayd bin Su'na, he says, stop here. Umar radiallahu anhu is like, this guy's pushing his luck, right? He's still alive. right? And so he says, stop. He says, do you know who I am? Umar radiallahu anhu was probably thinking, yeah, dead man, right? No, but he says, ta'arifuni ya Umar, do you know who I am? And he goes, la, man anta? No, I don't. Who are you? And he says, ana Zayd bin Su'na. My name is Zayd bin Su'na. And Umar radiallahu anhu is genuinely surprised. Why? Zayd bin Su'na was this mythological kind of like person, had become kind of like a myth, a Medinan myth. Ever since the Muslims came to Medina, why? They used to talk about, the Jews of Medina would talk about a man who was a scholar of their scripture who had gone into seclusion like a decade ago. He had gone into seclusion and he had never interacted with anyone since then. He had somebody that would run all of his errands and this and that, but he had not interfaced with another human being in decades. But they had heard about him. He said, Al-Hibr? You're the Jewish scholar, Zayd bin Su'na. He goes, yeah, that's me. And he says that, I apologize for what I just did. The whole interaction. But he said, I did that interaction because I have been studying the scripture and I found in the scripture that at the end of times, Allah would send a messenger and that messenger would have certain characteristics and signs. And the last of his characteristics and signs that I had not yet confirmed on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was that when you behave ignorantly with him, instead of responding back with ignorance, he will always respond back with forbearance and dignity. And the more ignorant you become, the more dignified he becomes. And I had to experience it for myself, and I have now experienced it. Please take me back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because I would like to become Muslim. فَرَجَعَ عُمَرْ وَزَيْدِ إِلَىٰ رَسُولَهِ صَلَّىٰ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. They came back, فَقَالَ زَيْدِ, and Zayd sat in front of the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. أَنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except for Allah, and I bear witness that you indeed are the servant and the messenger of Allah. That was the character of the Prophet ﷺ with those who were outside of the community. And by the way, this man Zayd bin Su'na, how did he die? He died in the path of Allah, fi sabilillah, while traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle of Tabuk. On the way to Tabuk, he passed away on the journey. He is a shaheed. A shaheed. And how did the Prophet ﷺ treat people within the community? I apologize, I've gone way too long today. But how did the Prophet ﷺ treat people within the community? Hadith of Bukhari tells us, Anas radiallahu anhu says, كُنْتُ أَمْشِي مَعَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ بُرْدٌ نَجَرَانِيٌ غَلِيظُ الْحَاشِيَةِ. I was walking with the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ was wearing a shawl, like a shawl. And the shawl was a very particular kind of shawl where it has like stitching and like design along the border. Okay? And so that makes the edge of it very kind of like thick and coarse. فَأَدْرَكَهُ أَعْرَابِيٌ. A Bedouin man, Muslim, who wanted some financial help, financial assistance. He caught up, he came up behind the Prophet ﷺ. فَجَذَبَهُ جَذْبَةً شَدِيدَةً. And he grabbed the shawl of the Prophet ﷺ to get his attention. حَتَّى نَظَرْتُ. And it he yanked the Prophet ﷺ back. And Anas says, حَتَّى نَظَرْتُ إِلَىٰ صَفْحَةِ عَاتِقِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَقَدْ أَثَّرَتْ بِهِ حَاشِيَةُ الرِّدَاءِ مِنْ شِدَّةِ جَذْبَتِهِ. And I saw the burn mark, like a red burn mark on the neck of the Prophet ﷺ, from how harshly this man had yanked the shawl. ثُمَّ قَالَ. And when the Prophet ﷺ turned, then when he got our attention, obviously, he said, مُرْلِي مِنْ مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي عِنْدَكَ. And he says, tell somebody to give some sadaqah to me. I need sadaqah. It's possible that the man maybe was in such a state of desperation. Who knows? Maybe he had hungry children at home. And it was, you know, Imagine a parent when they see their child hungry. It would drive you to the point of insanity. So he could have been just not thinking straight. He says, please tell someone to give us some sadaqah, to help us out. Anas radiallahu anhu says, think about what this man has just done. Yanked the neck of the Prophet ﷺ, put a burn mark on his neck, ripped his shawl off. فَالْتَفَتَ إِلَيْهِ And he said, and when the Prophet ﷺ turned around to look at the man, Anas says, what did I see? ضَحِكَ The Prophet ﷺ smiled at the man. He smiled at him. Because he understood the man is in desperate need. He smiled at him. ضَحِكَ ثُمَّ أَمَرَ لَهُ بِعَطَى And then he asked someone, please, go help this person. And that was the character of the Prophet ﷺ. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to us about in the Qur'an. We pray and we ask, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us prophetic character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to follow in the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the beautiful character, the noble manners, the remarkable disposition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that kind of dignity, and may we always respond to ignorance with dignity. Amin ya rabbil alamin. Barakallahu fikum. Jazakumullah khairan.